First Samuel chapter 24. First Samuel chapter 24. First Samuel chapter 24. I'm going to share with you a story of David, King David. King David was the anointed king of Israel, and during this time, he had not ascended to the throne. Once Saul figured out that David would be the next king, something came over him, and he was jealous of David. He would conspire to kill David, even though David had not done anything wrong. So what occurred, David would have to run for his life because Saul was after him. By the way, it wasn't theoretical, right? King Saul was after David to kill him. So David now had to run away into some caves. And he was there with his men and his protection. And here's the thing. I want to use that story because how it applies to us nowadays, I don't want us to ever be the type of Christians that don't know how to live in victory. And what I mean by that is this. Don't allow someone's fog to control your faith. And that word fog, it's actually an acronym I like to use as fear. Don't let someone's fear, don't let someone's obligation, and don't let someone's guilt control your response. Just because someone's afraid of what might happen, just because someone tells you something to obligate you, or they feel obligated to tell you something, not control your response. Sometimes there are people in our lives that will tell us things to make us feel what? Guilty. You don't have to respond that way. David, who actually had a great reason, right, to defend himself, even to the point that he probably could have killed the king, chose not to respond. Based off of that king's fear of David taking the throne, based off of that king's obligation or guilt, David chose not to respond. And my friends, what I'm trying to help us this morning with is our spirituality, our faith in God. If we truly believe that God is in control of our marriage, if God is in control of our finances, if God is in control of our families, if God is in control of our homes, of our lives, you should not have to be the type of Christian that's reactionary. Amen? You can actually have control of your choice. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, pray you be with me this morning, and I'd like to share this portion of Scripture, Lord, to help it be applicable, but more importantly, Lord, just that it can help somebody here this morning as a nugget of truth, give them insight as they live their life outside of these walls, that you're real. And even though life tense and we might be full of anxiety at times, God, we don't have to respond to the pressures of life and the circumstances and the pressures that other people put on us. We pray that we would be the type of people that would have faith in God. We would be courageous and learn to live the right way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read that portion of Scripture here real quick. 1 Samuel 24. Do we have it? And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Next, Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. These are the caves we're talking about. Next. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went into cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Just real quick, I'm not trying to give you imagery, but so you can understand, when the Bible says, and Saul went into cover his feet, back then they didn't have public restrooms on the caves, amen, like they do nowadays. So when you there, pretty much, found a rock, a tree, a goat, I don't know, but you would use the restroom. That's what that means, okay? Continue. Sorry. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. And then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's privately. Real quick, Saul is in the most vulnerable position he can be, right? He's using the restroom. In this situation, it just so happened that King Saul goes to the exact same cave that David and his men are hiding in. I don't know if you realize this, but it's not like modern day caves nowadays that they have electricity. Back then they didn't have electricity, amen? I'm being facetious here, amen? They're in the cave, it's dark, these men are hiding. King Saul is in the most vulnerable position he can be, and now the men of David are saying, look, this is God's will for your life. He has brought your enemy to you so you can take him out. I'm paraphrasing. We read it. What did David do instead of killing him? He cut a piece of garment. He cut off of his robe, of King Saul's robe. Continue. Next verse. Thank you. And it came to pass afterward, look at his response. David's heart, what? Smote him. Because he had cut off Saul's what? You say, men are not supposed to wear dresses. I know. We need to talk to that fashion police back. Amen? But at that time, when the men wore robes, amen? Or skirts. Is that what it says? Okay. Yeah, I could say whatever. Saul's skirt. What ended up happening, right? He cuts that off. He felt so bad, David did. He didn't want to even take his enemy's life away. But he felt so bad just for cutting a piece of skirt from King Saul. I don't know about you, man, but I'm not going to feel bad if somebody's trying to take my life away. Amen. I'm an American. On top of that, I'm a Texan. Amen. And sorry, I'm too old. I don't fight anymore. Just leave it at that, okay? You can say whatever you want now. I have a bad back, bad neck. I'd probably be, oh, no, you're going, amen? That way. David felt bad. Why would David feel bad? Because Saul was put in a position of authority, in an ordained position of authority by who? God. Hey, young people, you know what? Your parents are put in an ordained position by God in your home. They're the authority. Sometimes you don't even feel bad that you don't clean your rooms. Sometimes you don't even feel bad that you just disobey. Oh, Pastor, well, it's just turning ugly. No, this is preaching. Yeah. My point that I'm trying to make is that David understood that I would not raise my hand against God's anointed because God put him there. He felt so bad when he cut the skirt because he realized, man, I did something against him. Even though this same person was evil. What is evil? With the intent to what? To hurt, to harm. So just free kids, you don't have to pay me for this. When the Bible says children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Your parents because they deserve it. You obey your parents and the Lord because this is right. If I want a right standing with God, I should obey his word of obeying my parents. So I'm obeying my parents as I'm obeying God. Because you told me my God, my Abba, my Father, I'm going to obey my parents. Not because they deserve it. Are we on the same page yet? Don't let your fog control your faith. Let's continue. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid. This is David, okay? He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against, seeing he is what? Anointed of the Lord. Continue. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. They wanted to take him out. He's like, no, we're not going to do this. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his what? Does it show or does it imply in this scripture that Saul knew what happened to him? Yes or no? Nope. That man did his business, went about his business, and then walked out. Continue. That was a stinky cave, now that I think about it. Sorry. Amen. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave, the same cave, and cried after Saul, "My Lord, the king!" And when Saul looked behind him, David stood with his face to the earth and what? Let me ask you something. What is bowing? That's putting yourself in the most vulnerable position you can. This is not a fighting position. Am I right? I don't wish you any harm, Saul. Continue. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt." He's saying, I don't know who's the one that told you I'm trying to hurt you. He said, Pastor, oh, that's what that means? Yeah, that's why the Old English is beautiful language. It's beautiful. It's pure. Continue. "Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee to my day into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eyes spared thee. I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for the Lord's anointed." I don't know what men have been telling you that I've been trying to hurt you, Saul, but I'm telling you, when you were in the cave, even my own men bade me to kill you, and I refused to do so because you're the Lord's anointed. Say, Pastor, why is he saying that? Well, he's giving Saul an understanding that he's not after his throne. This is the problem with gossip. Pastor lost his hair because he has cancer. What? No, I lost my hair because I shave it off. Amen. And my hair is patchy if I let it grow. All right, so instead of getting your attention with my patchy hair, I just shave it. Amen. But that's how gossip begins, right? We get the wrong information and we don't check with the right people. Amen. Saul didn't check with David. Amen. So Saul's like, hey, I'm going to take him out. And David's saying, look, I'm not against you. Continue. "Moreover, my father, see, yea, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand." He's like, let me give you right here. Look what's in my hand. I just cut from your robe, from your skirt, a piece of garment. "For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou," in other words, know you know this, "and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand. I have not sinned against thee, yet thou hunt my soul to take it." I haven't not caused you harm. I don't know what the haters are telling you. I'm not trying to hurt you. Let me even give you proof. You were in your most vulnerable position, and look what I have here. And you didn't even realize it. I could have taken you out if I wanted to. But I didn't. This is as this man is stooping to the earth, holding that garment. Continue. "The Lord judge between me and thee. The Lord avenge me of thee. But mine hand shall not be upon thee." Man, you can do what you want. If there's anything between us that's wrong, or, you know, that's the reason it's an animosity, let God judge between us. I'm not going to do it. If you did me wrong, that God may avenge it. I'm not going to be an Avenger Assembled Marvel movie. I'm going to go ahead and let you do your thing. Allow God to avenge me. It's the case, but I'm not going to put my hand against you. David allowing Saul's fear, Saul's obligation, Saul's guilt. He allowed Saul's fog to control his response. No, David's in control. He's exercising his faith. He said, "Let God." I'm not going to avenge you, man. Continue. "And he saith, as saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee." Continue. "After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? Dead dog." He's like, man, you're bigger than this, bro. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're chasing after me? Why? I'm nobody. And your stature and your circle of influence Okay, now in David vernacular. With your 24 million followers to my one follower. Okay, does that help? Amen. Young people, amen. I don't know. But here's the thing. I'm nothing. I'm a flea. Continue. And the Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. He's like, I'm going to leave it to God, and hopefully you don't kill me. You say, Pastor, what is the point of this? Don't let somebody's disorder become your disobedience. Regardless of the people around us that surround us, regardless of the circumstances that we're put into, sometimes we don't have a choice, we can still control what we what? What we do. You want true power? Do what you got to do, man. Make it happen. I don't have to allow at work my coworkers to control my outcome and how I perform as a employee. At school, I don't have to allow, I don't go to school anymore, amen, but I am still in the school of hard knock, amen. I'm learning because I'm a knucklehead, amen. Pray for your pastor. That's not the best teacher all the time experience. But in the school place, the thing about it is your comrades, or what do you call them? Your fellow students, I don't know. What is it? Classmates? Is it classmates? Your fellow classmates, they can do whatever they want. They want to be disruptive. They don't want to listen to the teacher. They don't want to do their schoolwork. Guess what? Still have to do rights. Amen? Imagine if your parents act like that at work. You wouldn't be paying the bills. You wouldn't be eating food. You wouldn't be eating your Mickey D's with the Happy Meal. Oh, now we done moved up. We're in Chick-fil-A, right? Amen. Praise the Lord era. Sorry. Forgive me. But you wouldn't be able to afford that stuff. My point that I'm trying to make is this. You can't control what others do. But you can always control what you do. What we do. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you if you're still with me, man. Don't let provocation control your response. Don't let provocation control your response. Saul, King Saul was provoking David to do wrong. He was chasing after him to what? To shake his hand? To what? To hold an open forum? Oh, let's talk about this, David. No. Why was he chasing him? To what? To kill him. I don't know about you, but that would provoke me to defend myself. Amen? Keep that 9 milli handy. Amen? That would provoke me to be safe. If that doesn't work, amen, praise the Lord. I'm not going to tell you too much, but I got my AR, I'm at 15, my AR, amen, bigger cartridges in Texas. But here's the thing. I'm not David. And this man is teaching us something very important. How not to become someone else's puppet. That's manipulation. Don't let someone's fog, fear, obligation, and guilt control your response, your faith. We already read this, amen? So continue to the next verse, please. Proverbs 15:1. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. If I have a harsh answer, you're in the heat of the moment, and I have a harsh answer, will it turn away wrath? Will it turn away someone's anger? If anything, it'll ignite that anger, right? Right? Dumb. What? Your mom. Those were the fighting words, amen, growing up. I don't know nowadays. I don't know. But it's like, you don't say that, amen. Your mama, what? No, she's a good woman. No, you know, it's going down. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. What we need to realize is that David had the opportunity to retaliate. David was being by his men, encouraged by his men to kill his enemy. What they would call nowadays what? His ops. Proverbs here is teaching wisdom. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? This is how Christians conduct themselves. We don't conduct ourselves like the world. You say, oh, you're a punk. Nah, I just know who's in control. You don't want to find me or look for me, because when you do, you're going to find me and you're not going to like it. Some of us don't have the same background. People don't realize that. It's for your safety and it's for your good It's for your benefit that I show love and put some boundaries between you and me. Let me be wise about this. It's for your health. Pastor, what? Are you threatening? No, I'm educating. Because people don't understand. There are some people that this is they're about being real. I'm sorry. I get it. Not everybody is like that. Some people have to be chameleons and adapt to their environment. I get it. And I'm not saying anything negative about that, but here's the truth. If you want to be real as a Christian, realize this. I'd rather have God control me, because all my life I've been doing decisions my way, because I'm keeping it real. You know, from the hood, keep it real. But the hood doesn't do anything good for me. You know who did good for me and broke that cycle of sin in my life? God. So I'm going to keep it real with God. Regardless of what the world tells me. Oh, you're a punk. Okay. Make that mistake. But what I'm disobedient to my Father who's given me everything. That's what David understood. Remember, this is the guy that killed a giant. This is the man that killed 10,000 while Saul killed his 1,000. His puny 1,000. David was real, man. He wasn't no punk. He just refused to let other people determine his outcome or his response. Proverbs is very helpful, because when somebody pushes your emotional buttons, they're called what? Trigger words, right? They use trigger words and you're like, I don't know, some of you start like getting demon possessed, and you know, it's like I'm watching Exorcist all over again. Amen. I don't recommend it, young people. Don't ever. No. That's wrong. But here's the thing. It's like somebody does something wrong to us, we immediately push back, right? It's human nature. None of us have arrived. This is why we get the word of God in us, to renew our mind. And here's the thing. Before you answer and respond the wrong way, why not ask, what I'm about to do in this situation, is it me being in control, or is it going to make the situation worse? That answer will determine how you're responding. You're responding out of emotion, or if you're responding by the Spirit. Next verse, James. Are you still with me? Say amen. I'll hurry. Amen. Oh me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. So who's he speaking to? His family members? What does that mean? Brethren. Come on now. Christians, those of us that are saved, brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ. Amen. Who is talking about? When we accept Jesus Christ, part of whose family? God's family. Now, guess what? You're my brother. Guess what? You're my sister. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Slow to. Another word would be anger, but this is a little bit next level. For the wrath of man, why do you not want to be angry? Why do you want to be quick to listen and be slow to speak? Why do you want to be quick to listen and slow to respond? Why? Because that's what wrath does. It worketh not the righteousness of who? It's not the right Christian thing to do. That's why. You know why there's arguments in marriages? Instead of listening, what do we want to do? I want to prove myself. I'm right. Now, men, you know, we're always right. Amen. Ladies, amen. Amen. Thank you. One godly man. Amen. I appreciate it. Amen. Sorry, you'll probably be like me in the doghouse now. Amen. Won't have any food. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, the reality is this. If the lady says that SS in a vehicle doesn't mean super sporty, it means super slow, okay? I mean, is it really, really that important for me and for us men to like lose a meal to prove them wrong? No. Do you really want to die on that little hill? Super slow, man. Yeah, babe, that's right. Okay. My point is, don't leave them in denial, but here's the truth, right? Am I trying to win this battle, or am I trying to win the war of love? Right? Am I trying to win the war of love? Okay, I don't know what's going on here, man, no domestic violence here. But here's the truth. If I know that she has the wrong answer, I don't always have to prove the fact that I'm right. I'm trying to listen to, she's showing me that she does not know about what? Okay. I'm okay with that. What do I need? Somebody that, well, I could have a nice car, I guess. But, I mean, why would I need her to be like me? I didn't marry another me. Praise the Lord. No hair. Amen. I didn't marry another me. This is how it works. But you know what we tend to do? Well, I'm going to prove my point. You're not even listening. And by the way, no one's perfect, okay? Husbands, right? We're not perfect. We get it. We like humor. But ladies, the same thing. If your husband doesn't know that you put that little, what do you call those little things? I don't even know what you call them. Those little tablets into the dishwasher, amen? There's a little portion there. You open it up. If he doesn't know that you're supposed to, like, wash and rinse the thing, the plates, and then put it in there. I'm not snitching on my wife, but you know what I mean? And you put it in there, and you only do one plate, and you turn on the dishwasher. Okay. I didn't have a dishwasher growing up, all right? Amen? You have to listen and say, this guy probably never had a dishwasher growing up in his entire life. Maybe I should use this as a teaching moment. I know he's a grown 46-year-old bald man, but maybe I can help him so we could be more efficient. Now, I'm not saying my wife did that, amen? Praise the Lord, my godly girls. They see plates on the sink. You know what they'll do? They'll go over there and wash it after I tell them 30 times, amen? Godly girls, amen? I'm joking. But here's the thing. I always grew up learning that, you know, you're a man, men don't cry, and you know, so you can grow hair in your chest. Amen? Obviously, that's not true. Amen? I realize that. But our society has painted men big. And if your wife is washing the dishes, me, big, strong, I'm not going to help her wash dishes. Why not? Because that's going to make me look like a... I don't know why I'm doing this, but it's going to make me look a little effeminate. Well, listen, why are we insecure? What is so effeminate about helping your wife? Oh, that's where you got me. Could have had brownie points, man. I try to give you an pink. You're looking at the ball. He said, I just don't do that. Okay, well, learn to. I mean, if you're secure of your manhood, learn that, hey, you know what? She's been working. She leads the home. She's been helping the kids. And now she has to come back to this mess of dishes. Is it really wrong for me to wash dishes? No. I mean, I have calluses. I have protection here. Amen? I tools and wood and, you know, mechanics and... I have strong hands. A little bit of soap is not going to hurt me. Amen? We need to listen. My point that I'm trying to make is David understood Saul's not right with God. He's after me because he realizes, hey, there's a threat. There's another man in place that's going to take my throne. Listen. And instead of him responding and taking him out, what did he do? He learned from that situation, put it back to Saul and said, hey, look, this is the issue. This is the problem. I'm not going to raise my hand against you. I don't know what people have been telling you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I could have. Here's my proof. You know what that does, men, in marriage and women? You know what it does in marriage, wives? It helps us in this ministry of reconciliation when you can hear the other side and not just be ready to respond. It helps us do this marriage thing a lot longer. Again, I'm not trying to win this little battle. I'm trying to win the war. Why? I've never had it. First of all, it's God-given. But I grew up in a dysfunctional family where my mom was a single-parent mom. She worked two jobs. I never saw that in my house. But I know what I wanted. Amen? I know what I wanted. And if I want to intend to keep it, I'm going to work at it. Pastor, you have to wash dishes. If I have to wash dishes, okay. If I have to sweep, okay. Amen? I'll buy my wife a vacuum cleaner, amen, for Christmas, amen. I might buy myself one, amen, I don't know. My point that I'm trying to make is we work together at this. We don't become unchristlike Because our anger, what it does, it works not the righteousness of God. My point, and this person's not paying attention or it's not listening, parents with the kids, I'm trying to prove my point. They don't listen. They don't do it right. What's the point of getting angry? What's the point of getting mad? They might not know how to do it because you never took the time to teach them. I was one of those kids. I didn't have daddy to teach me how to throw a ball, to teach me how to change a tire. I had to learn. And I'm thankful to God that there were some godly men that didn't allow the wrath to work the unrighteousness of God. Are you still with me? All right, bringing it down. Second point. I just want you to understand, don't let somebody's bad behavior become your excuse to have bad behavior. There's no point. Second point, don't accept responsibility God never gave you. This is important. Some of us think our job is to save the world. No, save yourself. Not save yourself, but you know, save your family, your marriage. That's your responsibility, your finances. Don't worry about everybody else in the church. Amen. It says, Galatians 6:5, for every man shall bear his own what? Burden. This is where obligation enters into the picture, folks. Some people are controlled because they believe, if they're upset with me, I have to fix it. No, you don't. You're an adult. If they are unhappy, it must be my fault. No. Everybody's their own person. You don't know what's going on in that person. They might be psycho. We don't know. If I say no, I think people are going to think I'm a bad Christian. No. Here's the difference between loving somebody and being responsible for somebody's choices. David loved Saul enough to refuse to kill him. It's Bible. So when we tell you healthy boundaries are good, that means I love you. It's good for your health. Some burdens are things that we help carry, but here's the thing, right? David didn't take the responsibility for Saul's decision to what? To pursue him and try to what? That's not David's fault. That's not how God works. Amen? So, Saul is trying to kill me. No, don't do that. Amen? Don't do that. My fault? No. Yeah, it's my fault why my parents turned out that way. Why they divorced. And parents, don't ever do that. If that's one thing you can destroy a kid with, man, don't blame them because you're not grown up, because you made a bad choice, or you don't know how to deal with things. I'm not going to tell my kids, it's my fault. Mom's not mad at me because I didn't wash the dishes. What? No, man. You know what you do? You get back up, you fix it, get over it. That's what men do, right? We fix things. We're men. Amen? Amen. That's what we do. We don't put it on somebody else. Don't do that. I'm not going to put that on Zeke. I'm not going to put it on my daughters and Ezra. I'm not going to do that. Romans 12:18. If it be possible, is it always possible? If it be possible, as much as life in you, live what? With all men. Is it possible to be at peace at all times? No. So that means there's sometimes peace is limited, right? I want you to understand, David is running for his life. He's trying to survive. This is like some of, you know, we grew up, if we stopped, died, or go to the hospital, or get beat up. So we always figure it out, and in life, this is the baggage we bring. We go. Because when you stop, bad things happen. It's not real life. That's just sometimes the environment you're in. David understood this. He's running for his life, and Paul is pursuing after him in this situation. He doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand why Saul chasing after me. But then, I'm looking at this. I'm sorry. I'm not in the second. Yeah, I'm in the second one. But then, this is what David doesn't do. He doesn't take out his enemy. He just puts it in God's hands. Parents, if David was running away from Saul, do you think that same David's going to invite Saul over for Christmas to his house? He loved Saul. Saul was still breathing. I mean, if that's not love, man, I don't know what love is. You're breathing. I had the opportunity to take you out. I had the opportunity to take away your oxygen. You're breathing. That's love. But do you think David is going to say, now, hey, guess what? Saul, you're trying to kill me? Come on over for Christmas. Yes or no? No, that would be foolish on him. See, God's not telling you to be a fool. God say, hey, if it's possible, peace with people, but there will be some people you can't. So you need to do some boundaries there. A good application here, I know I have weird applications, but this one here is serious and it's dangerous. And by the way, in our church, anything ever like this happens, we will get authorities involved, so you know, okay? So if you're a perv, a pedophile, this is not your church, okay? Just letting you know. Does God love you? Yes. But we're going to put boundaries here. Fair? Yeah, it's okay. I don't mind speaking about stuff like this, okay? Let me get the backlash. I'm trying to protect your children. Okay. But would, in case something ever happened that someone hurt a child of yours and they were molested, let's say this is a family member, by the way, statistics are high on that, you know, known person, would you invite that person back to your home? Why not? You forgave them? Why not? You have the love of God. Because God is telling us to be prudent. Prudent is not being unforgiven. Prudence is using your little brain and saying, I'm going to be wise. I'm not going to be a simple one and not foresee evil. Amen? And I'm not going to allow that to punish me. Why would I want to bring danger to my family? That's what I mean. This is how it applies. What I'm going to tell you is don't accept responsibility he forgave you. He didn't tell you forgiveness is to everybody. Hey, forgiveness is because they have the same DNA as you, all access to you. That's not what that means. That's not your responsibility. That's their responsibility. They did the wrong. They do the what? They do the crime, you do the? Yeah, you are. Yeah, and here in this church at least. I'm not going to hide stuff. I'm not going to, what do you call it, sweep it under the rug? Because yes, I forgive you. You sin. Okay, spiritually speaking, you sin. Physically speaking, in the realm that I live in the realm that you live in, guess what? There's consequences for that. Yeah, there's consequences. Can God still restore a person like that? Yeah, prison. Yeah. You're not going to be around my family. Men, are you going to want perverts around your wife? Yes or no? Nah. You understand where I'm coming from now? That's how this applies. Why would I want to expose my children, my wife, to people like that? Here's the thing. Don't accept responsibility God never gave you. Amen? He didn't tell you forgive everybody and then forget. No, forgive. Why is forgiveness good for you? Just like me, 7 years of my life, I was resentful, I was bitter at my father for choosing to leave us. And I went wayward. And I realized by not forgiving him, guess what? I did all the things to numb that pain. But the only one that could numb it was God. I thought a lifestyle, I thought drugs, I thought everything else that went with it. None of it numbed me. It made me worse. The one true thing that healed me was God. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, I'm just trying to explain something to you. It was not my responsibility to be judge, jury, and executioner of my father's actions. It never was. My job and my responsibility was to still do right. That's it. Third point, don't let your guilt replace godly conviction. 1 Samuel 24:5, and it came to pass that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. This is not David feeling guilty. This is not David feeling obligated or fearful of what happened. This is David getting an understanding of truth that I just did something. I didn't raise my hand toward the man of God, even though he's not living right. But I actually did something, and I did something to his, I guess his wardrobe or whatever. This man felt bad about it, not because other people were pressuring him to feel bad. It's because of his belief in God that he should never do anything towards the man of God. That's conviction. When I preach the word of God, I'm not here beating the pulpit telling you you're not right with God because you watch TV. When I'm here preaching in the pulpit, I'm not telling you ladies you're not right with God because you're wearing skirts or you're not wearing the right kind of skirts. Be bad, right? Okay. I'm not going to do that. You know why? I'm not God. You know who should convict you? God. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. My job is not to preach my opinion, not to be a skyscraper preacher. What do you mean? A storyteller, a story after a story after a story after a story. That's not what I'm called for. Amen? My job is not to preach one verse. You notice we're using the same passage and then live it. That's not my job. You know what my job is? To allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, to deliver what the message says to you, and then allow God to work in your heart. And if you feel this is the church for you to grow in, then praise the Lord. And if you feel like it's not, it's okay. We're not going to be hateful or mad because you're God's child, not my child. This is God's church, not my church. So the best I can do to protect the flock and lead the flock is to give you His word. Now, my responsibility is not to live the word for you. I can't do that. That's not my responsibility. So I'm not going to be, you need to get right. No, we all need to get right with God. Amen. Your job, my job, is to, as individuals, to obey what? The word of God. If you decide to do it, okay. Decide not to, it's okay. I'll love you where you're at. I'm still here for you, and I'll help you. Because there were people in my life that showed grace and mercy. But forgiveness is so you can grow. Forgiveness is so you don't have resentment. Forgiveness is so you, as the container of resentment, it doesn't hurt you. That's why you forgive somebody. You don't forgive them because they deserve it. You forgive them because you got to get right with God. Hey, I don't want to be thinking. I don't want this person to be living rent-free in my headspace or in my mind every night. Give it to God. God, I forgave them. Now, whatever you decide to do, that's up to you. But I'm not going to let that person change my marriage, change my parenting, change my finances, change my walk with you. I'm not going to allow that. That's power. Because now you get to live free. Follow me? Don't let guilt replace conviction. And bringing this to a close, you all would be so proud. I'm only four minutes over. Amen. Fog, I want you to understand, fear is what the F stands for. Sometimes, and it's normal, we get emotionally overwhelmed by another person's behavior, okay? This is the truth. Fear, you should ask yourself, what am I afraid will happen if I don't give them what they want? If you're in a relationship like that, it's toxic. No, you're supposed to please them. Hey, calm down. Don't take that responsibility. Only God can. God is what? Love. Not my responsibility to give my wife unlimited love. I'm supposed to love. Sacrificial love is different. Not unlimited love. I didn't die for her. Now I'll die to myself, because that's what Jesus did. He died for us, our benefit. But understand how this works. I'm not going to allow somebody to manipulate me. Amen. Yeah, amen. Parents, we shouldn't manipulate our children to doing right. By the way, I've seen a lot of... Amen. Amen. It's normal. Folks, I want you to understand. Ask this question. As a child of God, am I afraid what will happen if I don't give them what they want? Bless God, I am this. Calm down, Saul. You're not. Calm down. What made you better than me? His child too. Did you forget? Now we don't know when it applies to us. That's toxic, man. Oh, it's for obligation. What responsibility am I carrying that God never gave me? Am I really supposed to solve everybody's problems here? Yes or no? No, I'm supposed to be here. Show you what the scripture says. Then guess what? It's your choice whether your marriage works or not. You know what? It's not your fault if my marriage doesn't work. Is that, we agree on that? You know what? It's not your fault if my children decide not to follow God in their life. Is that fair? Okay. Vice versa. Don't blame your Sunday school teacher if you don't turn out. Put in work. If you always feel you're obligated to carry something, my friends, that it's not your responsibility, that's toxic. We're not going to make you feel obligated to give for the building fund. If you can give, praise the Lord. If you can't, I get it. I'm not going to say I agree with it, because remember, I come from the gutter. I was broke. Listen, I was so broke that if they robbed from me, they're just practicing broke. That's how broke I was, okay? So I'm like, yeah. I probably can't give you money, Pastor, but I'm here. My whole body's here. What do you need me to do? Go work, cut the grass, what? By the way, thank you, Brother Tyler. Thank you, Zeke, cutting the grass, amen. Pray for my John Deere lawnmower, amen. I have a complaint about that, amen. John Deere lawnmower, amen, broke down, amen. It's a good brand, amen. Yeah, thank you, sir, yes, sir. It's eventually going to start back, amen. It's going to eventually start back, amen. But here's the thing. G, guilt. Am I experiencing the Holy Spirit conviction, or am I being pressured by somebody else's disappointment? This is a big one. If people make you feel guilty for doing right, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're just trying to please people. And stop using the excuse, I'm a people pleaser. No, you still are a grown person. Make your decision. Because when we're in front of God, I'm not going to be like, hey, God, I'm just trying to please everybody. Okay? No, what did you do, bro? Oh, God, I did this. Okay, why didn't you do that? Because I'm a people pleaser. Doesn't make sense, does it? Why did you do that? I was wrong. I didn't have enough backbone. I was wrong. I didn't have enough courage. I was wrong. I didn't go into the scriptures. You say that you haven't given me a power of fear, that you've given me, a spirit of fear, that you've given me a spirit of love, sound mind, and a power, and I didn't tap into it. Ah, all right. I could work with honesty. Amen? Be honest. Be real. So, Pastor, what do we need? Truth. Yes, responsibility, but here's the thing. What part belongs to me? And what part belongs to God? That's how I approach this when we preach. I don't take on the responsibility to change your life. I can't do any of that, but God can. Follow me? Response. That's my responsibility. Response. What response would honor Jesus Christ? Bow your head, close your eyes. This. Don't let their fault become your spiritual response. I'm sorry. Don't let their fog become your spiritual response. Don't let somebody else's sin become your excuse to sin. As the piano plays,